first reading for this evening will be 1 Samuel 20, verse 3. 1 Samuel 20, verse 3. Then David took an oath again and said, Your father certainly knows that I have found favor in your eyes, and he has said, do not let Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death. Well, good evening, everyone. I want to express my thanks for all of the help, support, encouragement, all those things that went into the youth rally. None of those things are put on by one individual. It definitely takes a congregation, a family of loving individuals. I didn't even have to worry about the food, you know? We had the people that were taking care of that. And if you ever need a man to get pizza, I think Jenny's your guy. You had it on time, wherever you go. I mean, we had help from all people, you know, in preparation, during, after, everything we could possibly need. So we're just very thankful for all of the help and support when it came to that. You know, sometimes you have to field some calls in your life. And sometimes those calls are not necessarily pleasant to take. I got one of those a couple weeks ago. I got home from preaching, and I basically just walked in the door, and I got a call from my older brother. And the call was, come to the emergency room right now. I tried to inquire about it, but he was not going to give. He said, we just need an emergency room. He says, we just want you to be safe, get in here. He says, just get here, be safe, and I'll talk to you then. I got to the emergency room, and my brother walked out of the emergency area, and he says, Dad, not taking stuff too well right now, so he says, I'm going to tell you what's going on. He said, Mom got pulled into emergency heart surgery, and we have no idea what's going on. And they said, we just don't know. He said, come on in, and you know, we'll sit down until I have prayer. And we'll just wait for the surgery to be completed. And while I was sitting there, I only had to sit there for about 10 minutes because she'd already been in surgery for a while. But I was sitting there 10 minutes with my family, and one little phrase kept going through my head. I don't know why this phrase was going through my head, but this was the phrase that was going through my head. We're but one step away from death. That's what kept running through my head as my mother was in surgery. We are one step away from death. So kind of going from that one idea, that is where I'm going to focus this evening. And the question for you is will you accept that reality? Are you only one step away from death? See, I think that statement is so powerful because there's a figurative component to it, but also a very literal and real component to it. I mean, it can be taken figuratively or it can be taken literally. And we understand as we look out at the life all around us how true it is. And the reality is we all take calls like that at some point in our lives. Sometimes it's an emergency situation. Sometimes it is a death of a loved one or someone that we know. We all feel those calls from time to time. And it just is like a constant reminder, we are only one step away from death. You know, sometimes people will look at the church and they'll say, you know, sometimes they use death as a scare tactic to try to, you know, and I don't think it's a scare tactic at all when you look at it. That is really a picture of reality. We are but one step from death. And the question is, how are you going to handle it? How are you going to deal with it? How are you going to make corrections in your life? What are you going to do? Is there life after death? There's all kinds of questions that need to be addressed. It's not a scare tactic at all. Look around the world. We are but one step away from death. What I'd like to look at is three things that you are one step away from. And perhaps that'll help us reflect on our own lives and our lives in service to God. Number one is really just the basic reality that you are one step away from death. You know, barring God coming back, bar Jesus coming back, we will all face that physical death. in a real way that we all understand, that we've all have viewed and observed throughout our lives. But I think the Bible constantly is sending this message that you are one step away from death. It's not going to be long for you. It's not going to be much longer. You better step away. You know, I think of in James when it talks about life being like a vapor. It's here for a little while, but then passes away. How true that is. The Bible sends constant messages that life is not that long. You need to be ready because you're only one step away. In 2 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 14, I like what it says. It says, "For you will surely die and become like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again." It says, "For we will surely die." See, the idea that the Bible gives forth us is that death is certain and death can creep in a lot quicker than you might expect. But that's an idea that our society hates. It's the idea that our society fights against. See, our society hates the idea that life is so short. Our society hates the idea that death is certain so many times. We can see it in their actions, how they try to prolong life for so long. And sometimes they'll say that death will never come. Sometimes if you listen to the scientific community, that's what they try to sell us, you know. We're getting to the point where we'll live forever. You won't have to worry about death anymore. That's what they're trying to sell to the people. I like what the psalmist says in Psalm 82 and verse 7. It says, "But you shall die like men." But you shall die like men. And it continues on, it says, "And fall like one of the princes." I mean, we all are going to face death. It's interesting how our society and our world is trying to promise the elixir of life. You're going to live forever with all these scientific advancements that we have. It's funny how we can't beat that age of 70 as we try to average all of the ages around the planet. That's usually what we come to, about 70. It's just we cannot beat death. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 5, it says, "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. And they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten." Just that little passage there in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 5, it seems like people mess up every aspect of that. The very first part of Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 5 says, "For the living know that they will die." It's funny how we try to fool ourselves on that. Do you know that you're going to die? Do you know that your life's coming to an end? It seems like a basic thing, but it seems like a question, a very serious question that people put in the back of their minds and they don't want to consider. They don't want to look at it. They don't want to consider it. They don't want to think about it. That they are about one step away from death. It's funny how we just mix up that first statement. It says, "For the living know that they will die." And yet we try to say, "No, no, you're not going to die. You're going to live forever." The next one, it says, "But the dead know nothing." Seems like sometimes we try to say the dead know everything. Our society, in terms of different avenues, different sects of our society, the dead know this and the dead know this. It says the dead know nothing. Continues on, it says, "And they have no more reward." It's interesting how we try to give rewards sometimes after people have passed. It doesn't do any good. I mean, necessarily, I understand that sometimes there's some ceremonial aspect of it. And it says the memory of them is forgotten. And it's funny how sometimes people think that they're going to be remembered after they're gone. Do you remember your great-great-grandparents, your great-great-grandparents, your great-great-grandparents? You realize that once we pass from this earth, there's certain things that are not going to matter. Our earthly accolades, the things that we've done that we've been successful, the things that we've done in our life, the only things that are going to matter are the spiritual things. Those are the only things that are going to last forever. Do you know that you are going to die? Do you accept the reality that the world doesn't want to see, that they want to blur, that they want you to forget? Because if you accept the reality of the brevity of life, the shortness of life, and the certainty of death, you know, that can certainly change your priorities in a way as you go throughout this life. Now, sometimes it shifts people's priorities in the wrong way. When people sometimes think about the shortness of life, they say, "Well, I want to live it the way I want to then." And sometimes people say, well, since death is certain, I'm definitely going to try to live this life the way I want to live because it's so short. But there's a third component. You can't just understand that life is short. You can't just understand that death is certain, but there's a third component. Is there life after death? And when you put that third component in there, there's something that's very powerful that happens with individuals. They start to realize the certainty of these things, that life is short, that death is certain, and you know what? There could be something after, and maybe I need to get my life right before I leave this world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 32, it says, "If in the manner of men I have fought with thieves at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If the dead do not rise, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." See, Paul's kind of drawing the conclusion of the world. If we don't raise from the dead, if there's not something after death, then this is what we should do. We should let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. See, the world can come to the conclusion that life is short. The world can come to the conclusion that death is certain. If that third component is missing, a lot of times they won't change their lives. If they don't think about after death, what is after death? And that's certainly something that we want to reflect on throughout our lives. We need to accept the reality of death, that death is just one step away. You know, I think that when we accept this reality, it can be very powerful, and it can help us in our lives as we move forward in our lives. In 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23, David is trying to get over the death of his child. It says that in 2 Samuel chapter 12 verse 23, it says, "But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." See, when we have a real perception and a real understanding of what death is, we understand how we have obligations to that and how we can shape our lives in respect to death so that when death happens, maybe we can handle it in a better way. See, David understood that once his child had died, there was nothing really more he could do. He couldn't pray anymore for the child. There were certain things that he couldn't do anymore because the child had passed. But he understood that the only way that he could get to his child was once he passed. Once he passed on this earth. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, "There's a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted." You know, we have a reality check that everyone needs to come to the conclusion, you are going to die. And sometimes it takes things in our life to remind us of that once again. You know, and my mom's not necessarily an unhealthy individual. You know, I mean, I know my mom will die eventually. But I wasn't expecting to call on that day. Not after I got done preaching, not when I just got home and opened the door. I wasn't expecting that call. And my mom's fine, and she passed one of her two kidney stones, which I think that was part of the problem. But when we think about that, you know, maybe we've taken too many tomorrows for granted. Don't we take tomorrow for granted so often that we say, "Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it the next day." But death is only a step away, and we only get so many tomorrows. But are you taking maybe too many tomorrows for granted? See, one of the great blessings of being a Christian is that the world will perceive death one way, but we can perceive it in a totally different way. How do you perceive death? I like what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, it says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." You know, I like the way that is framed here, the idea of falling asleep. I don't want you to be ignorant of those who have fallen asleep. What does the world do when those have fallen asleep or those who have passed from this earth? How do they perceive it? Well, it says they have no hope. See, if you have an atheistic worldview, what's after death? There's nothing after death. There's no hope. But it says, Christians, it says, "Let you sorrow as those who have no hope." We do have hope that there is life after death, and that helps to frame our mindset. I like the mindset that we find in Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. It says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell, for I am hard pressed between the two, having the desire to part and be with Christ, which is far better, and then the other is to stay here and try to help." See, Paul's hard pressed. Why is he hard pressed? Because he thinks there's something after death. He thinks that there's something after death to look forward to. He says to die is gain. And we do have hope as Christians. And you know what? It makes that step a whole lot easier. See, the reality is everyone who ever walked upon this earth is just one step away from death. But see, that step becomes a whole lot easier when you're a Christian. That step becomes a whole lot easier because it can change your mindset and the way that you look at death and the way that you handle your life, the way that you conduct your life, that when death comes and you take that final step of your life, you are ready. You are prepared. You are but one step away from death. I want to let you think a little bit on this other point, is that you are also one step away from God. Now that's interesting, because we know when God is coming, and I know that God is always here, and I know we can get into those ideas, but the idea that we are one step away from God, our judge, We are one step away from God, our judge. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it says, "And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." We are just one step away from judgment. We're just one step away from God. You know, as a teacher in school, they teach you ways to manage behavior. And one of the ways they teach you to manage behavior is called proximity. And this is the idea that you get close to someone who's doing something that they shouldn't be doing. So, like, if I'm talking in class and I'm going over something that the students should know, and one of my students in the back is kind of talking, and I know they shouldn't be talking, I don't necessarily have to call them out. I can walk back there, and as I approach them, what do? A lot of times they'll stop talking. You know, it doesn't always work. Proximity doesn't always work with some students. I wish that this idea would work in people's lives. You're about one step away from judgment. You're just one step away from the living God. Does that make any difference on the way you conduct yourself throughout this life? You're about one step away from God. See, we always forget about that. We go throughout our lives, and it seems like God is so far off, and it's almost like sometimes we pretend like He can't see our lives and all the things that are going on in life. He sees everything, all the good and evil things in our lives. He sees all the things that are going on, and we're about one step away. But sometimes we act like God is so far away. God will never come. God will never judge my actions. God will never be critical of my life and the way that I conducted myself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, it says, "We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." I like what they said. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You're one step away from the judgment seat of Christ. You're one step away from God. How does that influence the way that you're conducting your life and your actions? Of course, we have Matthew chapter 25, and we have the judgment scene where He's separating those from the left hand and to the right hand. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God." Are you ready? Are you prepared for the last step of your life? Are you ready for judgment day? Are you ready to stand before Christ and give that account of the things done in the body, both good and bad? In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 14, it says, "For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." Every secret thing, whether good or evil. Are you ready for judgment? In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, it says, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment." You know, when I think about that, it's a very sobering thought that I am one step away from God, I'm one step away from judgment, and all the ways that He's going to look at me, look at my life, and I think we definitely need to reflect on that. You know, a lot of times what we do is when a lesson is taught, a lot of times we start popping a lot of other people up in our heads. You start thinking about this person. No, we need to think about us. We need to think about us. Are you ready? Not necessarily the person sitting beside you. Are you ready for judgment? Are you ready to be one step away from God because you are? Are you ready to be one step away from the judgment seat of Christ? Are you ready for that day? Are you ready for the last step? In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down into hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." I mean, I think that's a sobering thought as well. He didn't spare the angels that sinned. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31, and this kind of summarizes my thoughts, it says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Are you ready to be one step away from the living God? Are you ready for the judgment day where the righteous judge will have the book open, he'll see all the secret things, he'll have all our idle words, he'll have everything? Are you ready for that day? Of course, once again, we get into this idea that the world will perceive it one way, the Christians should perceive it another way. I am so thankful that Jesus Christ came, that He shed His blood on the cross, that on judgment day, my sins can be washed away. That when I stand in the judgment, not because of the things that I have done so great and all these things, it's because of Jesus Christ and His forgiveness and His grace and following and being obedient to what He said, that on judgment day, I don't have to worry quite as much. Even though I have done horrible things, even though I have sinned, the grace of God, the blood of Jesus Christ, all these things are so, what a blessing to have. Because if not, you're falling into the hands of the living God. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 8 it says, "For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." What a great thing it is to be one of the Lord's. It says, if I live, I'm going to be the Lord's. If I die, I'm going to be the Lord's. And when I die, we are the Lord's. Is that something that you would say of yourself? Are you ready to be one of the Lord's, not only throughout this physical life, but throughout your eternal life? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 17 through 18, it says, "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." You know, there's some comfort to that. Yes, there's the aspect that we're one step away from God in terms of judgment, but when we're a Christian, we're one step away from our Lord. We're one step away with being with God, once again. And it says that these words should be encouraging. It says, "We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." It's comforting to know that we're one step away from being with the God that we serve. In fact, I think that's supposed to be a Christian mindset, is that we should be wanting that. We want to be one step away from God. What other situation would you want to be in? You want to be two steps away from God? I want to be as close to God as I possibly can be. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21, it says, "For our citizenship, it is in heaven." In Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21, it says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the works by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself." How do you perceive being one step away from God? How do you perceive being one step away from judgment? See, we're certainly one step away from death. We're certainly one step away from God and the judgment. The last thing I'd like you to think on is you're one step away from eternity. You're one step away from eternity. In John chapter 5 and verse 24 it says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." Passed from death into life. What interesting terminology there. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 14, it says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Do you realize that you're one step away from eternity? You know, figurative, but literally, you're one step away from eternity. That point where we're going past this physical world into this time period that goes forever. You know, it's interesting in this life, we're always dealing with stuff that ends. You know, life ends. Sometimes jobs end. A lot of things end in this life. But have you thought about everlasting life? You're one step away from everlasting life. You know, in a movie I watched one time, it says, "Death is just another path, one that we all must take." I always thought that was such an interesting, you know, terminology. Death is just a path, one that we all must take. Are you ready to take that path? Are you ready for that path? And the reality is we're all going to take that path at some point. Are you ready for that path? Death is just another path, one that we all must take. And when I start to think about that, everlasting life and all of these things, I think what we realize is the majority of our existence is on the other side of death. And up to this point, where's the majority of our life? In this physical life. But the majority of your life, your spiritual existence, the majority of your existence is on the other side of death. Your life is just this little bit. this little bit was, and we can get him so small that it wouldn't even be able to be comparable to the life that is to come. The majority of your existence is on the other side of death. And there's some aspect of that that's really exciting when we're a Christian. The best of my life is yet to come. The best of my days are yet to come. In John chapter 11, verses 25-26, it says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? I just like the phrase. It says, he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Not what the world is going to tell you. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Of course, we know that Jesus has prepared a place for us. John chapter 14, verses 1-3. It says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But one of the scary things is, like I said, there's two ways to receive things. There is everlasting life after death. I believe that. But there's the alternative in terms of, we have everlasting life, that you're going to live in one of two places. You're going to be in one of two places. And that's a very sobering thought. In John chapter 5, verses 28-29, it says, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Sometimes people don't like to think about the reality of heaven and hell, the reality of after death. People don't like to go too far. They don't like to think too far. But maybe you should, because that's going to be the majority of your existence. It's going to be the other side of death. After all this is over, after all things have passed away, after the earth is melting fervent heat, after all things are over, the majority of your existence is on the other side of death. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17-18, it says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly and great weight of glory, while we do not look at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things that are not seen are eternal. The things that are seen are temporary. What I love about being a Christian is it makes the last step a whole lot easier. Well, the last step to what? Well, the last step of your physical life. The last step that leads you to death. The last step that puts you before God in judgment. The last step that leads you to eternal life. Being a Christian makes it a whole lot easier. And we know that we all have had friends and relatives and brothers and sisters in Christ that have passed on this earth. Being a Christian is the easiest way to face death. It's the easiest way to face death. When you go the last mile of the way, when you go the last mile of the way and it comes to your last step of this physical life, the last step before death, the last step before judgment in God, the last step before eternal life, it makes it a whole lot easier when that last step is with Jesus by your side. That's why I like what it says in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. It says, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Are you ready for that last step? Are you ready to go the last mile of the way? Because certainly we all are going to get there, and we don't know quite when we're going to get there, but one day you are going to take your last step. And that last step is going to lead all kinds of places. Are you ready for the last step of your life? We are all but one step from death. Perhaps you need to get ready for that last step. You realize that you're not ready for one reason or another. Perhaps you've never put the Lord on in baptism, and you need to do that this evening. You've heard the word, you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you need to repent, confess, and be baptized. We would love to help you with that this evening. So you're ready for the last step. Perhaps you have wandered off a straight and narrow path and you need some help or assistance in some way. Prayers of the church, help, encouragement, whatever you need, we would love to help you in any way so that we can all be ready for that last step of our lives. If you're subject to Lord's invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and as we sing.